Hi.
Welcome to the Take 5 podcast, the show that helps strengthen firefighters in protecting those relationships that matter most. I'm your host, Lee Sullivan, licensed mental health counselor and certified emotionally focused therapist. I'm so glad you're here today. Hi, welcome to part two in a three-part series on discovering your attachment style. Our attachment style or attachment bonds or the patterns how we attach is really important because it builds the foundation for resilience. Another way to say that is resilience is built upon the foundation of our attachment bonds. So we need to understand how we connect and conversely, how we disconnect from others. So I want to share with you a couple stories. First, the story of my oldest son. We took him trick-or-treating at a local mall one year. Much to my chagrin, I absolutely can't stand crowds, but we took him to trick-or-treating at some local mall, and he was just a little buddy. I don't know. 3 or 4 years old. He was really little. And it was very crowded, and he would run ahead and explore around him and maybe approach a person for a candy. But at some point, he would look around. He'd stop in his tracks, look around, have a nervous look on his face, and look for his dad or myself. And so you could see that he felt a little anxious, felt a little bit nervous. And he would immediately come running back, grab my leg and just for a cuddle. And then very quickly, he would take off again. This ability to go explore his world, when he felt anxious, he knew he could come back to his secure attachment figure, me and dad, my husband. And then he felt safe within himself to go explore again his own world. That is a secure based attachment. Story number two. Our youngest son is adopted, and for the first time when we would introduce him to friends and family, he would go to them very easily and would not cry. And the people that would hold him, they just perceived him as such an easy baby, and he's such a good guy, and he was so easy. Well, him not crying when going to a stranger signified an insecure attachment bond. There should have been a difference between when his secure attachment figure, mom or dad, are holding him versus a stranger. They were our friends and family, but they were someone he had never met before, and honestly, speaking a language he had never heard before. So to him, it was the same being held by a stranger and his parents. That was an indicator to us that we have some attachment to do with this little guy. We need to build a secure foundation and a secure attachment bond with him so that he knows that we are different than the strangers that are holding him. There's a strong amount of research out there that correlates attachment theory, in other words, our needing others, and workplace stress, okay? There was a study recently of 173 Midwest firefighters, and it revealed that avoidance and anxious attachment styles diminished their overall well-being, and it diminished their coping skills, in other words, their resilience, and it increased their workplace distress within the firehouse. So when we're looking at research, we also want to include those studies about the military. And the reason we want to do that is because their deployment structure or the process that they deploy really mirrors the, I think of it as mini deployments of shift work. So the patterns are the same. They might be exaggerated for the military personnel because the duration is much longer. However, the process of deployment, leaving home, and then re-entry back to home parallel the firefighter experience. And so we want to, when we're looking at research, we want to gather those studies that also include the military. There was a recent study where they looked at active duty military families, and they noticed a significant importance on their connections. So more closely connected couples and families, they endured deployments with increased resilience. So re-entry back into home was much easier for those military personnel and for the families, less distress when they were deployed, easier re-entry back into home when the couple was securely connected. In 2020, there was a research study conducted on over 4,000 participants. Now, these were civilians, but that is a massive amount of research participants. So it's a huge study, which means we want to take note of the pattern that they discovered in their research. They discovered that the goals to change attachment anxiety and avoidance were a predictor in attachment growth over time. So, in other words, their study looked at people specifically with anxious and avoidant attachment patterns, and they discovered through their research that their own volition actually caused them to develop a secure attachment bond. In other words, their research suggests that an increased attachment security can occur over time for folks with anxious and avoidant attachment patterns, that if you want to make the change, if you want to increase your attachment and develop a secure form of attachment, you absolutely can over time. So I like that study because it's a huge amount of participants and it's very hopeful. It tells us that once again, another research study, new, published 2020, shows us that if we want to develop a secure form of attachment, no matter where we start, no matter our childhood, no matter where we came from, what trauma we've endured, the difficult challenges that we've experienced in life, we can form a secure base of attachment at any developmental stage throughout our lifespan. That's tremendously hopeful. Let's continue our participant exercise from last session, where we were asking questions and just thoughtfully thinking through our responses to some questions about how we attach to others, and specifically what was formed in childhood. Okay. So if no one was safe, how were you comforted? Did you comfort yourself? How did you learn that people were unsafe? Did you ever turn to drugs, alcohol, sex, food, material things for comfort, instead of turning to a person? How were feelings dealt with in your childhood? Were some feelings permitted while others were silenced or ignored or not allowed in your family home? Did you feel safe to share your emotions? Did you have a person in your life to help you process your emotions? Who did you turn to when you were sad, anxious, scared, or lonely? How was loss or trauma or discrimination or racism, how was that handled in your home? Who did you turn to for comfort? And what did they say or what did this person do that was helpful or comforting to you? Forming secure attachments won't only help at home, but they'll help on the job. They'll help increase workplace well-being, overall well-being as a person. They help increase your positive coping skills. They increase your resilience to critical incidents, and they decrease workplace distress. But before we can form new and secure attachment bonds, we must first look at what we started with, how our attachment bonds were formed, what attachment bonds were formed, how were we taught about emotion and showing our vulnerable emotions, how we learned to ask for help, or did we learn to protect ourselves and not ask for help or comfort? We have to first understand and unpack the roots of our attachment bonds. Join me next week as we finish our three-part series on attachment styles. And like always, all the references cited in today's episode are going to be listed in the episode notes. We're also going to list a link this week on an attachment inventory, an attachment styles inventory that you can do on your own, in addition to all the questions that we've gone through in the last two episodes. If you learned something useful on this podcast, please like us and subscribe so you don't miss out on future episodes. Also, if you have ideas for upcoming podcast content, topics that you'd really like to see us research and then produce an episode on, feel free to leave that in the comments. I'd love to hear from you and connect directly with you. Thank you so much for joining me, and I really look forward to our time next week. Be safe and be well. For a list of references used in today's episode, please visit our website at takefivewithlee.com. You'll also find more resources for first responders that have been vetted for cultural competence. Remember, what we see, we can change one feeling, one message, one conversation at a time. Thank you for joining me as we learn to tap into our emotion signals, which will ultimately build resilience, protecting and preserving those relationships that matter most. Be safe out there and be well.